at a prayer from verse 14 through to 21, a prayer that Paul prayed. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If God is able to do immeasurably more than we've ever imagined or even asked, what would you ask for if God could do more than that? You know, God's got unlimited power, and he's put out an offer to you that there's an unbounded request. You can ask for anything. Some here might rub their hands with glee and go, I've got a list, God. But what I've noticed, certainly with my children, is if I say to them, you can do anything you like today on school holidays. In fact, I have said this to them. What do you want to do today? They give me the same three options. Bounce, bowling, and movies. I'm like, wow. Again? I remember many years ago when I was a youth pastor here, we used to say to our young people, what do you want to do next term? You know, we could do anything. And they would tell us back what we had done already last term, which is very affirming. But what I'm trying to say is, so often when we have the freedom to ask for anything, we only ever ask for the things we already know. And that's not what God's putting out for us today. That's not the prayer. The prayer is that God will give us more than we know, more than we've asked, more than we've imagined. So if we were told we could ask for anything, what would we ask for? So often we're like this prodigal son. You should remember this story, but Jesus tells the story of a ratbag boy who leaves his dad, squanders his inheritance, finally comes to his senses, and he's on the way home. And this lad, this is what he asks for, or this is what he thinks he will ask his father for in Luke 15. He says to himself this, I'm going to say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. What does his father respond with? Do you remember? Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. This father had in his heart and in his actions so much more for his son than his son could ever have imagined. Can you see how the big request of the son was still too small of the father? Still too small of what the father will give him? And I wonder if we're like this with God. That when we're told that you could pray a prayer that is to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, if we're like that lad. So often when I have heard that passage, I've thought of it a bit like McDonald's and upsizing. So in other words, God, what God will do is he will take my request and then make it 10 times bigger or 50 times bigger or 100 times bigger. He'll upsize it. Well, just remember this. If the prodigal son pitched for 100 times a slave, he's still a slave. He's still a slave. God doesn't start with what we think, because what we think is generally speaking, slavery. We generally ask for what we already know, and what we already know is being a slave. And God doesn't want to offer you or I 100 times a slave. So our big is too small of God. God's generosity is bigger than we know. And God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. I'm going to take you quickly through Ephesians, the first three chapters, to show you what I mean. So Paul writes in chapter 2, he says that you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. In other words, you are in serious trouble, people. And you are, if you were in that kind of trouble, dead in your transgressions and sins, I wonder what you might have hoped for if you could go to the God of the universe and make a request. You're in trouble, not just because you were born into this world, you're in trouble because of the things you've done. What will you do when you go to the God of the universe? Well, you might ask for a rescuing, but probably, knowing most of our psychologies, we would be like the prodigal. We'd come back and say, well, God, if we come back to you, we will do what we're told, pay back what we've been given, live lives that show that we're worth it, worth the cost. That's probably what we had asked for. Well, listen to what Paul says God has for us. Chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Chapter 1, verse 5. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Chapter 2, verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Chapter 3, verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Chapter 3, verse 17, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I need to take a break. A breath. Through Jesus Christ, even when you were dead in your sins, even when you are by nature deserving wrath, we have been rescued and forgiven. We are God's children. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are made alive. We're given authority with Jesus. We're saved by grace. We're created to do good works. We can approach God with freedom and confidence. We are loved with a love of Christ, and we can be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Did you ever believe that God could be that good to you? And if you didn't, you missed the point of where you were before God was so good to you. If you didn't understand that you are lost in your sins, then you will never understand how amazing that list is. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. No wonder Paul says at the end of this prayer, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Listen, God's generosity is bigger than we know. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And that's why Paul dares to pray this, that you may be filled to the fullness, to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be completely filled up with all of God. That the infinite somehow may be squished into the finite little brains and bodies that you have. He dares pray that. That's a ridiculous prayer, isn't it? A ridiculous prayer. Many of us spend our lives, I think, feeling like we're spiritual failures. That we reel from one mistake to the next. We just hope to get through. Now, apart from the tragedy of the personal guilt of living like that, it makes us useless. for being fully alive for God and doing good, His good in the world. Others feel nothing. That's good that you feel. Others feel nothing at all. And in the face of those kinds of responses, Paul dares to pray this for all the saints. Not for the special select few. It says here that he's praying this for all the Lord's holy people, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. He's praying that if you live a life of guilt, that you'll be able to exchange that life of guilt for the relief of forgiveness and the freedom of living obediently for him. And that if you live a life of distraction and disinterest, Paul's saying that you could exchange that for a hunger and a thirst for the kingdom of God. That you'd be filled beyond what you've ever imagined. That's his prayer. That's his incredible prayer. So do you want to see that prayer answered in your life and in our church? It could make you nervous, couldn't it? You never quite know what it will mean for all of God to fill all of you, all of us. That the future is unknown. When I was a lad, my family went on holidays, and my parents were so disorganized, they never really told us where we were going. And I remember one of our trips we're going to to Ernabella. Not too many Australians get to go to Ernabella. We had no idea what to expect. Central Australia, out in the bush camping for, I think it was 5 weeks. Right, 6 kids. But here's the thing. Most of the holidays I went on with my family were amazing. And I didn't know where we were going, but there's a fair chance it was going to be another amazing holiday. I was in safe hands, or mostly safe hands with them. And that particular trip changed my life. I want to tell you, you don't know where you end up with God, but you're in safe hands. God has so many surprising things for us, so many destinations, incredible plans, serious growth, but don't worry. It's all good. Have you settled down in your Christian life? That there's no longer this hunger in you, that even what I'm saying today seems distant, a memory? That if I were to sit down with you and say, tell us about your Christian walk, or your best stories were 10 years ago. Settling down could be good. No one wants to live on a roller coaster, do they? Like, roller coasters are fun, but you don't want to live there. But if settling down means you pray less, you read less, you bear witness less, you serve less, you have less of what keeps your faith firing, then that's toxic. That's bad news. And when you're like that, do you feel like you're filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? Do you feel like that Paul's prayer is being answered in your life? Or are you starting to look around and go, well, what are we doing all this for? I want to say to you, stepping into this new role doesn't make me feel like I'm very settled. It's been 5 days and I've already gone, wake up every morning and I say to God, I need you today. Nothing like a fresh challenge to get you going. My mind's whirring. My body's ready. I'm keen. I don't want that to pass. I want to settle down. The hurricane is because I am enthusiastically, passionately pursuing what God has for us. I have no intention. I have full intention to listen and to go at our pace. I have no intention to lose the passion and the enthusiasm. Tuesday mornings, I'll be here praying on 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's a little practice that I love at Blackwood Hills, where we got together as elders and pastors and anyone else who wanted to come, we prayed. I'll be doing that. I don't mind if no one comes. I know I need to keep that fuel in the tank. I'll be taking your care cards and we'll be praying through that. Because I don't want to lose the hunger and the thirst. You don't want your pastor to lose his hunger and his thirst. And I'll be praying that our people, the people of God, may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And that will be, if that means it makes you nervous, then so be it. If that means it rattles your cage, then let's rattle. But we're safe hands. This is a good prayer. It's the right prayer to pray for our church. And if we're in God's hands, there's nothing wrong with what God will do in us and through us. So, do you want God to answer that prayer in your life and mine? God's generosity is bigger than we know. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So Paul says, ask to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Do you want that prayer to be answered in your life? Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for this day. We want to thank you for George's witness of the work in her life. We thank you, Lord, that she is hungry and thirsty for all of you to fill all of her. And we pray that she may walk the remainder of her days discovering something of the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of Christ. We pray that for ourselves too. Stir in us and you a hunger and a thirst to know more of you. Fill us, we pray, with all that you are. For Jesus Christ, our Lord's sake, we pray. Amen.